The passage is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father.
Thanks, Vanessa. Did Jesus just say that you are the light of the world?
No. You, I think.
Oh. What about them, perhaps?
All the churches in town.
Maybe like the worldwide church, perhaps?
Yes. Female and...
male. Old and...
young. Jew and...
Gentile, like across racial and ethnic barriers. Slave and...
free. Rich and poor.
Oh, awesome. Thank you, Vanessa. Oh, kia ora tātou katoa. What are we expecting this morning? I want to explore this city on a hill idea. And I want to build on Coralie's message last week and John Van Dalen's the week before. And I want to play with some ideas of what we do in the city, and maybe even about the purpose of why we come to church today. So, are there any other cities of light in the Bible? Well, there's Jerusalem, right? That was a city on a hill, and they had God dwelling with them there in the temple. And they were bearers of the promise to Abraham that through Abraham's descendants, they would be a blessing to all nations. But it didn't quite go so well. And then there's the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city coming down from God to here, because God is making all things new. And new creation is breaking out among us already. And the light in that city comes from God. Thanks, Ruth. And so this city on a hill is like a foretaste of this new creation. So, who lives in the city now? Well, Vanessa does and I do. Maybe we all live in the city, right? And in Christ, we're more than individuals. We're more than the sum of our parts, right? We become something like the body of Christ. And we contribute our different gifts for the well-being of the collective, right? Anyone else live in the city? God. Yeah. He is with us, among us, yeah? Okay. So this city on a hill is a picture of God's kingdom. Wherever God reigns, wherever his will is done, even here and now in our messy world. So if this city on a hill is a city of light, you would think that it's surrounded by darkness. It's a light for those in darkness. Paul extended the metaphor. He said, we preach that Jesus Christ is Lord and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, for we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. So this light is in fragile containers. Anyone here feel like a fragile container for God's Spirit? Roger, you more than most. A bit broken, a bit hurt, a bit not quite right. The city is fragile. We think darkness invades it and crushes it, but it keeps popping up in love and good deeds. Do we live in a good world? You might say, Mark, the world is amazing. We have this just right planet, an atmosphere, hills, mountains, rivers, wildlife, pencil sharpness. And we have people who bear God's image because in God's image we were all created. You could also say this world is really broken. There's so much wrong with it. Aren't we all plagued by sickness, decay, wrongdoing, strife, violence, selfishness? Yes, that's our world. See, every one of us makes our own trouble. We bear the consequences of our own sin and foolishness. Yeah? We act in a way and we bear the consequences of that. But that's not the whole story, because worse still, the sins of other people, we bear the sins of other people ourselves. We bear the consequences of other people's sin. You know what I'm saying? Yeah? Anyone here ever borne the consequences of other people's sin? Yeah. And even worse, our own sin causes suffering and harm to others. And perhaps even worse still, our corporate sin puts other people down and keeps other people down. And in this broken world, we have God's kingdom breaking out among us, this fragile and beautiful city on a hill. So it's a light to a dark world. And John chapter 1 says the darkness has not overcome it, has not put it out. So God's kingdom is breaking out into our world in partnership with you, me? Oh, Chris Moffat, he's working on it. Great, Chris will get it done. Thanks, Chris. Now, this city of light is different. There are different norms and there are different behaviours. And Jesus made some outrageous comments about the people who are great in this kingdom, about the people who are blessed in this kingdom. So if we take the people roughly from here across, can you think about the question, who did Jesus say are the great ones, the blessed ones in this kingdom? And this side, can you think about the behaviours that are present in this city on a hill? And if you're a bit stuck, go to the Sermon on the Mount, which we're in from the passage. Thank you. You've got a few minutes and I'll bring you back. Oh, groups of two or three, and make sure everyone's included. What do you reckon? It seems strange to think of anyone greater than anyone else, but who did Jesus say were the great ones or the blessed ones?
The poor.
The poor?
The poor in spirit.
The poor in spirit.
The meek.
The meek, the humble, yes.
Those that mourn.
Really? Okay. Hunger and thirst after righteousness, yes. Oh, the children! Great! Yes, anyone else?
Peacemakers.
Oh, the peacemakers. Yeah. Sorry? I don't like that one either, Ruth. Coralie told us last week about loving our enemies. Okay, thanks. And the behaviours in this kingdom, in this city, what are those?
Love and kindness.
Love and kindness? Awesome.
Serving others.
Do you remember James and John, their mum, came to Jesus and she said, oh, Jesus, make sure that my boys sit one at your left and one at your right when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus went, he said, look, lady, you don't quite understand that the greatest in the kingdom are those that are the servants of all. Yeah, thanks, Joan. Any other behaviours? Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. The faithful spouses, the ones who trust without worrying. John said the week before last that we should do to others as... Yeah, you got the idea. Okay, thanks. Imagine the city had gates. Would they be open or would they be shut? Well, my friend says we might want to shut them at night to keep our enemies out. And I thought about that and I thought she's right. Because we've got to... thanks, Leah. Because we need to protect this fragile thing from wolves in sheep's clothing, right? But I think at other times the gates are open so people can come, have a look, join in. Ian, could you shut the door at the back there? Let me lock it bottom and top. Thanks. Let's imagine. Somebody got the joke. Thanks, Ruth. Can we imagine we took 100 New Zealanders and asked them, what's the most sacred day for you? Maybe a few would say Easter Sunday, Christmas, Matariki maybe. But I reckon, for the most part, people would say Anzac Day. And we fly a lot of flags on Anzac Day. And can you imagine the City of Light has got a flag? And I wonder whose flag would it be? Would it be a nation's flag or would it be something different? So let's join the dots about who we're patriotic for in this City of Light. So we're all like a body that includes followers of Jesus from all nations, right? A kind of holy temple, a City of Light. We're the servants of the great ones, where the humble are blessed, where we love our enemies, and where we resist evil without violence, where we love sacrificially to overcome evil. So if by chance we hear political leaders claiming to follow Christ and then waging war and unleashing hell on their enemies in the name of Jesus, we would be a little suspicious, right? Some mischief's afoot here. We can be a little skeptical when an empire uses the name of Jesus to bomb and control their enemies, yes? The name of this Jesus who loved sacrificially and rose again to overcome evil. The name of this Jesus who told Pontius Pilate that his city, his kingdom was not like the kingdoms of this world. The name of this Jesus who lived in a nation that was overrun and colonized and taxed by the Romans, and the name of this Jesus who never once implied that we should use violence to overcome the empire. Oh, I'm complaining again. I hope I'm not complaining about nations making wars and rumors of wars, because empires have done that for thousands of years, right? I suppose what I am complaining about is that warring nations create a version of God and they use it to justify their militarism. That they use religious languages and images to invite us to hate our enemies and fight them. And the God that is on our side in a war is a pale imitation of the one and only true God, the King of the City of Light. But if we can see through it, we can resist it in love and without violence. We can push back when empires try to capture God for their own purposes, yeah? We can live by our own values in the City of Light. And you could say, stop already, Mark. Anzac Day is about remembering the brutality of war, as Ian said, as Glenda said, rightly. We remember the brave people we sent out who did their best. We remember the never againness of war. Yeah, I agree with that. Fair point. But Why do we have to celebrate Anzac Day with military images? The uniforms, the marching, the medals, the salutes, the guns, the flyovers, the cannons. Because those images all say, in militarism we trust for a good world. And we in this city of light don't trust those things. Oh, and just remind me, who was it that gave his life so we could be free? Oh, thank you. Did you know our church has a wonderful heritage of supporting conscientious objection? So do the Baptists, the Quakers, the Methodists. They see militarism as they see through it and they resist it in love and without violence. And in wartime, these conscientious objectors got carted off to prisons or even to the battlefield. So to mark Anzac Day this year, our local Quakers are showing a film at the Peter Davis Lecture Theatre called Field Punishment Number One about Archie Baxter. I'm going along tomorrow night. You might want to join me. And if you want to do some reading around this, if you're a bit interested, then we've got some books that might help you out. All right, enough already. Why do we come to church? It's a question that's different to what do we do at church, like sit quietly in a pew, take communion, laugh at Doug's jokes, learn facts about God. I'm interested in the purpose behind coming to church. If these kinds of things are our why, then we learn what it takes to live in this city of light. For example, if we encounter God here, our behaviour changes. Our posture changes towards others, towards God, towards the empire even. We become more like Jesus. And it's the same for the rest of those. We at church build one another up towards love and good deeds. The book of James says two really interesting things. One is that true religion, pure religion, is to look after the widows and the orphans in their distress. And the second one is, and refuse to let the world corrupt you. We're not conformed to the world around us. And so I'm interested in what would we do differently if we wanted people here on a Sunday morning to encounter God consistently? And so the question to ask to get there is, well, what are we really good at already? What do we appreciate about being part of this congregation? Groups of two or three again. I'm not going to take feedback on this one, but just be interested in your thoughts with one another. What are we really good at? And these things on the slide might give you a starting point. Thanks. Finally, what do you need today in this city on a hill, in this part of the body of Christ? Maybe you've come for a bit of a look around to kick the tires, to check things out. You're welcome. Maybe you need to encounter the King because you're a bit banged up and in pain, and you need the King's presence today. The people around you will help you with that. You might be ready to love and serve God by loving and serving others. That's great. You might want to express joy or thanks or worship or repentance. You might just need to sit and experience the love of the King in a safe place. Maybe this is your refuge from a really messy world. So let's sit together in silence for a few moments and talk with our Lord about what we each need today. And then after that, Peter will have the microphone if you want to share a story or a thought or a scripture. Thank you.
I'd just like to share these verses. I've always loved these verses. I've always been quite an encouragement for me. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And you know, sometimes we just don't want to go to church on a Sunday morning, perhaps. But you know, you get blessed and encouraged by coming, and not only that, the other side of that is everyone else is blessed for you coming as well. And it's a great opportunity for us to do life together, to worship together, honour God for what he's done for us, to learn from God together. And I think Paul knew how important that was, that we were to meet regularly. So just an encouragement that this is a great place for us to do life together and to learn about God and to remember his sacrifices for us.
You might be like me and feel that you're not a particularly out there evangelist, but I think we need to be equipping ourselves to be able to have conversations with people that we come across in everyday life. And I remember at work when I was working under government contracts often, it was very restricted what I could say to people about my excuse me, my values and beliefs. But I developed some carefully curated questions that would open up opportunity for me to talk to people. So if I was seeing somebody under a family court contract, for example, in the process of the work that I was doing with them, it was easy to just say to them, do you have any spiritual practices that support you in life? Now, often the answer would be sort of quite out there and not in line with my thinking about things, but it opened the opportunity for a discussion about spiritual things without it being seen that I was preaching at people. So some of us are really good at doing that, like Steve and Bronnie, and others of us struggle a little bit more. But I think we can become more confident in doing it simply by thinking about what are some things that open up conversation with others. So I'd encourage you to do that, because we're having conversations with people every day, and we can turn those into more positive conversations if we've given some thought to how we can do that.
I've, along with many of you, been having fun on Alpha and being reminded about really important things of our faith. And one of them is, and I got it again this morning, we are not alone in this city doing things through our own strength. God is with us. His promise is to be with us by his Spirit and to stay with us, to never abandon us. And I think just bringing that perspective more and more into everyday life just allows so much more wonder and wonderful to happen.
I think this goes nicely from what Sharon just said, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And down to verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. So as we are being light, we're not doing it on our own. As we grow closer to God, we're reflecting his light, and that's what shines out. So we need to make sure that we keep our eyes on him and not to be afraid, because he isn't expecting us to do it alone. Like Sharon is saying, that he is there with us. And I really encourage each of us to meditate on God's word and to grow closer to him, because then that light will naturally flow from us.
I don't know about you, but sometimes as a Christian we like to serve other people, but sometimes it's hard to be served. You know, I can remember in Bangladesh having my feet washed. It was a very humbling experience. But sometimes we need to wash each other's feet. When I say that, we need to get down and get to know people, spend time with people, get on the phone, ask how each other is, touch base with people and talk to them, walk with them as they journey on their journey. And that's what Jesus would have us do. I'd like us to read now the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours forever and ever. Amen.